We're going to look at Abraham's life as we've been going to the book of Genesis. We're going to see that Abraham did fail. And yet God proves to Abraham, even through a pagan, that he would have taken care of him. And he does take care of him. And hopefully we will ask the question concerning our previous failures. Why didn't I trust the Lord?
Welcome to this midweek edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. Well, Greg, we all know the phrase, we can do things the hard way or we can do things the easy way. And the hard way being our way and the easy way by trusting the eternal God.
You know, Dave, we've seen this time after time in Abraham's life. And this same pattern is evident in our lives as believers in Jesus Christ. Please turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 21 as we begin the first of three studies in verses 22 to 34.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, today's message is one you'll want to share with a friend. Just tell them to visit etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. They'll find today's broadcast as well as a host of other archived broadcasts waiting there for them. Our web address, again, is simply etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Well, have you ever failed in your walk with Christ? If you are a true believer, you're nodding internally or externally, yes. We have all failed in our walk with Christ. We do fail, and there are times when we do not trust the Lord. There are times when we step out in our own wisdom and understanding. There are times when we sin. For example, the Lord has promised for us, as he deems fit, that he's going to provide for us. And yet there are times when we worry. The Lord has promised to protect us, and yet there are times that we worry. The reality is that we often fall. And yet the Lord desires that we would walk in a manner worthy. That we would learn to trust him more and more. That we would become more and more like Jesus Christ. Now, although we fail, and we have failed, and we will fail in the future, it is the Lord's desire that we would not fail, that we would trust him. And he has given us his word that we might learn to grow in our relationship with him. And it's at these times when we are confronted with our past failures, and we are confronted within that with the faithfulness of God and his word, we learn to trust him. And that's what we're going to see today. We're going to look at Abraham's life as we've been going to the book of Genesis. We're going to see that Abraham did fail. And yet God proves to Abraham, even through a pagan, that he would have taken care of him. And he does take care of him. And hopefully we will ask the question concerning our previous failures. Why didn't I trust the Lord? Because he's faithful, you see. We're going to learn from the Lord's faithfulness in protecting and providing for Abraham in spite of his past failures. Let's turn together in our Bibles to Genesis chapter 21, and we're going to be looking at verses 22 to 34. Now, I just want to bring us up to speed, the context of Genesis. We're coming to a close in the life of Abraham. We have one more significant event relating to Abraham, and I look forward to looking at chapter 22, and I hope you're reading forward in what the Lord does in chapter 22 with Abraham. But we have seen that initially this book was written for the Israelites who are on the plains of Moab, waiting to go into the land. God has promised them that he would bring them in. They needed to obey him. And certainly they needed to trust him. And yet we know all scripture is inspired by God, and it is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, having been fully equipped for every good work. It is profitable for us too. Now in the book of Genesis, we have seen the history of mankind from God's perspective, the Creator, who brought forth a perfect creation that was good and blessed. And yet we saw man's fall into sin. But even within that, God's redemptive plan was foreshadowed that in Eve's seed, Satan's head would be crushed. The reality that God would take care of the sin problem. And yet in Genesis, we saw that the sin problem was great. that mankind continued to spiral in sin, and that God, even as an example, brought about the flood judgment upon mankind. And yet even after that, man continued in rebellion, as we saw on the plain of Shinar. Yet God graciously began to manifest, at least in the book of Genesis, his plan concerning what he would do. And we came to the life of Abraham. Chapters 12 through 21, we have seen a man who responded to the call of the Lord, who believed and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. We have seen the walk of faith, not perfect, but yet growing. And we know from the New Testament that Abraham is the paradigm of faith. He is the example for us of what genuine faith in the Lord looks like. And we have been privy to look at his journey of faith. Remember, he was called out of Ur of the Chaldeans. He left by faith, not knowing where he was going. And we know in chapter 12, he stopped short in Haran. And the Lord reiterated his promises to him that he would be a great nation, that God would bless him and make him great, and that he would be a blessing. Those who blessed him, he would bless, and those who cursed him, he would curse. And then we had the gospel in seed form, chapter 12, that in his seed, Abraham's seed, all the nations would be blessed. You see, mankind is cursed in a sense because of sin. But God would bring back salvation, blessing through Abraham's seed, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God who would go to the cross and die for our sins. And Abraham was also promised the land, and he worshiped the Lord. And yet we saw one of his failures in chapter 12. Out of fear, he went to Egypt, and he declared his wife to be his sister, although she was his sister in a sense, his half-sister. He did that because he was concerned and fearful for his life, not believing the promises of God that he had clearly made. And God delivered him. And Abraham obviously was repentant in that context, coming back to where he had come from. Then in chapter 13, Abraham exhibited faith, yielding his rights in the conflict between his nephews, Herod's men, and his. In chapter 14, he defeated the Mesopotamian kings by faith, those who had taken Lot and those in those cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities. They were taken away and Abraham delivered them. We saw Melchizedek bless the God of Abraham, giving him glory for the victory that Abraham had. And Abraham worshipped in response and would not receive anything from the Sodomite king, but gave and tithed to the Lord. We saw in chapter 15 that Abraham was encouraged not to fear, that from his own body would come this promised seed, and that his descendants would be as numerous as the stars of the heaven. And Abraham believed because he was a true believer, because faith had been reckoned to him as righteousness. And the Lord made an unconditional promise with him that he would possess the land, yet there would be a delay for 400 years as the sin of the Amorite would come to fruition. And remember what we saw in chapter 16. It had been 10 years in the land, and we had the Hagar incident where Abraham listened to the voice of his wife when she was telling him something that was sinful, to go in to fulfill the promise through her maid, Hagar. And we see that there was a child of the flesh, Ishmael. And nothing but trouble came from that situation. Then in chapter 17, Abraham being 99 years old, 13 years after the Hagar rendezvous, we have Ishmael being a little over 13. God Almighty restores Abraham and declares that he will fulfill his covenant. Therefore, he must walk before him with a whole heart because he's going to fulfill his promises to Abraham. And then he revealed that it would be through Sarah that Abraham would have a son, not through Ishmael. It would be through Sarah who would bring forth Isaac. And Abraham initially laughed and petitioned the Lord that it would be through Ishmael. But when the Lord reproved him, Abraham believed, and he did not waver from that point on, Romans chapter 4. And he was obedient, and that obedience was exemplified as he did what the Lord said, circumcising his family and his household as a sign of this covenant that God had made with him. Then we came to chapters 18 and 19, a real parallel set of chapters where in 18 we see the Lord fellowshipping with Abraham and disclosing his truth to Abraham. We see, unfortunately, the ungodly life of Lot in chapter 19 where the Lord delivers him by the seat of his pants. The reality that Lot was a worldly believer who was almost swept up in God's judgment. But because of Abraham's petition for Lot, the Lord delivered him. Abraham walking with the Lord disclosing truth with him. Lot, not walking with the Lord, ends up drunk in a cave, unwittingly fathering two wicked nations through his daughter's wickedness. Those nations who would be the strongest of Israel's enemies. Then in chapter 20, we saw Abraham, the paradigm of faith, again falls in the same area that he had fallen before. And this is important for today's portion. As he deceptively lied concerning Sarah, thinking that the Philistines would kill him for his wife Sarah. And he again calls her his sister. Yet God was faithful in spite of Abraham's temporal failure. And then we saw that God was faithful to his word. When the time came where it was way beyond for Abraham and Sarah to have a child, God miraculously, the God who can do anything, brought forth the promised child in chapter 21, bringing forth miraculously a son for them in whom they obediently called him Isaac, which means laughter. But in this case, it was joy as we see Sarah coming around and trusting the Lord, considering him faithful who had promised. And within that, we saw their obedience and joy. God fulfilled the word that he had made 25 years earlier, and he brought forth that son miraculously. Everything is good, but yet Abraham and Sarah's past failures came back to haunt them. As Ishmael began to mock, and as we see in Galatians chapter 4, persecute Isaac when he was being weaned, a small boy. And the context of that persecution obviously was in relationship to Isaac being the heir. And we have Sarah rightfully saying, cast out the bondwoman and her son, for he shall not be the heir. And we have a picture that is revealed for us in the New Testament that Ishmael represents the flesh, Isaac, the child of promise, and that we need to cast out that which is by the flesh. We need to trust the Lord and walk by faith and not carry out the desires of the flesh, walk by his spirit. And with that in mind, we come to a very interesting portion of Scripture, which some have said doesn't seem very important. Now, it's true, this section is sandwiched between two very important portions of Scripture. Obviously, the promised son Isaac coming forth, and then in chapter 22, Abraham offering Isaac as a sacrifice. But yet we have this section here. And we need to ask the question, why does the Lord God give us this seemingly insignificant section? On the surface, it doesn't seem to be that important, but remember that all Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for those things, as we have seen. So with that in mind, as we go through this today, we really need to ask that question, why did the Lord add this for us? Obviously for the Israelites first, but for us. I believe we're going to see the Lord wants us to understand, in spite of our failures, that he is still faithful. In spite of our failures, that he is faithful. He cannot deny himself. And he wants us to learn so that we will trust him. And I hope after studying this portion, we're going to say, as we look back at our failures, why didn't I just trust the Lord? Let's take a look at our passage, verse 22, Genesis 21. Now it came about at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, spoke to Abraham, saying, God is with you in all that you do. Now therefore swear to me here by God that you will not deal falsely with me or with my offspring or with my posterity, but according to the kindness that I have shown you, you shall show me and to the land in which you have sojourned. And Abraham said, I swear it. But Abraham complained to Abimelech because of the well of water which the servants of Abimelech had seized. And Abimelech said, I do not know who has done this thing. Neither did you tell me, nor did I hear of it until today. And Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them to Abimelech, and the two of them made a covenant. Then Abraham set seven ewe lambs out of the flock by themselves. And Abimelech said to Abraham, what do these 7 ewe lambs mean, which you have set by themselves? And he said, you shall take these 7 ewe lambs from my hand, in order that it may be a witness to me that I dug this well. Therefore he called that place Beersheba, because there the two of them took an oath. So they made a covenant at Beersheba, and Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, arose and returned to the land of the Philistines. And Abraham planted a tamarisk tree at Beersheba, and there he called on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned in the land of the Philistines for many years. Now, certainly this would be important for the Israelites who were going to be entering the land, and they were going to have to deal with the Philistines. They're going to need to see God's faithfulness in the context of how God's hand had been over Abraham in the context of his interactions with the Philistines, even in spite of his failures. So I believe today what we're going to see is very important, not only for the Israelites, but for us. But not only for them, but for us, right? So as we begin, notice the text reveals that God is faithful to his word in spite of us. We're going to see Abraham experiences the Lord's protection and his provision in spite of his failures. Again, verse 22, now it came about at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, spoke to Abraham, saying, God is with you in all that you do. Now therefore swear to me here, by God, that you will not deal falsely with me or my offspring or with my posterity, but according to the kindness that I have shown you, you shall show me and to the land in which you have sojourned. And Abraham said, I swear it. So our text begins with the phrase, now it came about at that time Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, spoke to Abraham, say. So we need to ask the question, what is that time that it came about? The time is in relation to what we just saw in chapter 21. Isaac, the child of promise, had been miraculously conceived by Sarah and Abraham in their old age. God had brought forth this child miraculously according to his promise. And if you'll remember, when Isaac was being weaned, probably about 3 years old, Abraham threw a party. And then we saw that Ishmael was persecuting the child. Ishmael was mocking the child of promise. And in accordance with Sarah's command, which got affirmed by the Lord, to cast out the bondwoman and her son because he wouldn't be heir, we came to a difficult portion for Abraham, where the Lord had to assure him to obey that which Sarah had said, because she was right. It would not come through Ishmael, but Isaac. So Hagar and Ishmael were cast out, and the Lord did take care of them. He was faithful in that. So then, at this time, just after the events regarding Hagar and Ishmael being cast out, we have our phrase here. Now, it came about at this time that Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, spoke to Abraham, saying, you know, sometimes a lot of things happen at once, don't they? There's situations where there's one event happening, then all of a sudden something else happens, and here we have the inspired author, Moses, saying, at this time. It must have been a difficult time for Abraham in that context, but yet he obeyed the Lord, and he did cast out the bondwoman and her son. Do you remember what happened back in chapter 20, this situation previously that happened with Abimelech? Do you remember what happened? Abimelech was the king of Gerar, as we'll see, the king of the Philistines. And in our verse here, 22, it says that Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of the army, spoke to Abraham. Now, this term Abimelech really means father is king, basically. And it was a term kind of like Pharaoh. There could be different Abimelechs. But it seems in the context that this Abimelech is the same Abimelech that was earlier in chapter 20. Let's turn back and take a look at that account and be reminded of what happened back at that time, because it really does play into what we will see today. Chapter 20, and I'm just going to read through it and give a little commentary briefly as we go through it. Chapter 20, verse 1. Now Abraham journeyed from there toward the land of the Negev. That's the southern area of the land of Canaan, and settled between Kadesh and Shur. And so he sojourned in Gerar. This is the southern area, as I shared, of the land of Canaan. And Abraham said of his wife, she is my sister. Uh-oh, remember that? Here we go again. He lies, right? He's being deceitful. And what happens? So Abimelech, that's our guy, right? King of Gerar sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream of the night and said to him, "Behold, you are a dead man because of the woman you have taken, for she is married." Now Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, "Lord, wilt thou slay a nation even though blameless? Did he not himself say to me, 'She is my sister,' and she herself say, 'He is my brother'? In the integrity of my heart and the innocence of my hands, I have done this." Then God said to him in the dream, "Yes, I know that in the integrity of your heart you have done this, and I also kept you from sinning against me." By the way, all of our sin is against the Lord. And he says here, "Therefore I did not let you touch her. Now therefore restore the man's wife, for he is a prophet, and he will pray for you, and you will live. But if you do not restore her, know that you shall surely die, you and all who are yours." That's his kingdom, basically. So Abimelech arose early in the morning and called all his servants and told them the things in the hearing, and the men were greatly frightened. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said to him, "What have you done to us? And how have I sinned against you that you have brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? You have done to me things that ought not to be done." And he's right, by the way. He is reproving Abraham for his deceitfulness. Abimelech is calling out Abraham concerning his sin. And Abimelech said to Abraham, "What have you encountered that you have done this thing?" And notice Abraham's response. And Abraham said, "Because I thought surely there is no fear of God in this place." He was presumptive, wasn't he? "And they will kill me because of my wife. Besides, she actually is my sister, the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. And it came about when God caused me to wander from my father's house that I said to her, 'This kindness which you will show to me everywhere we go, say of me, he is my brother.'" Do you remember Abraham fell back into a familiar pattern, not trusting the Lord, because the Lord had promised he would have from him a seed, right? He's thinking he's going to get killed. That's not believing the promise. And then he stepped forward in his own wisdom with this little plan, fearing man. And he was presumptuous concerning Abimelech and what he would do, yet he was wrong. And he put his wife at great risk. He also caused intense trouble to come upon the house of Abimelech and the kingdom. And then notice what happens, verse 14. "Abimelech then took sheep and oxen, male and female servants, and gave them to Abraham and restored his wife Sarah to him. And Abimelech said, 'Behold, my land is before you. Settle wherever you please.' And to Sarah he said, 'Behold, I have given your brother,'" who knows that, right? "'I have given your brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, it is your vindication before all who are with you, and before all men you are cleared.'" And then it's at this point we see Abraham responding rightly. I believe he did understand that he had failed. Notice verse 17. This is what the Lord God said Abraham would do. I don't see the Lord prompting him, but God said he would do that. And notice verse 17. "And Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maids so that they bore children. For the Lord had closed fast the wombs of the household of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife." So we have this previous incident which involved Abimelech, and it is apparent that Abraham is still sojourning in this area, and it's probably been about 4 years since this incident.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, and today's message is from Greg's series in Genesis. You can hear today's message again by visiting us online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, in addition to today's message, you'll find other Bible studies and audio series at our website. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all of our audio resources are provided at no cost to you. And this is made possible by the Lord's faithful provision through listeners like you. For more information about this series in Genesis or the ministry of Equipping the Saints, visit us online at etsradio.org. Greg, as we get into this passage with Abraham and Abimelech, you reviewed Abraham's previous encounter with this king in chapter 20.
Yes, Dave, reviewing the mess that occurs when Abraham or even we out of fear take matters into our own hands with an expedient lie or some other lame solution because we presume trouble that we think God isn't going to carry us through. We need to look at that because then we need to see how God delivers us when we step back into faith and obedience to Him. Now we're just getting started, friends, so we invite you to stay with us for our next few broadcasts.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has Equipping the Saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Yeah.